So does the Christmas story still have the power to change the world? We are asking this Advent season. Yes, it does, we would affirm. Christmas can change the world as it changes us. And so today, through a weaving of scripture, song, and sermon, we'll consider how the countercultural message of the gospel to spend less might be one of the ways God works through us to change the world. As we prepare for the message, let us turn to God in prayer. Holy God, as we move a little closer to Christmas, your yearning for us is peace. And so in this time and place set apart for you, give us eyes to see you, ears to hear your voice, and hearts to welcome your coming to us. By your word and spirit, may we learn to trust your love and live always for your glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson comes to us from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. I'll be reading verses 18 through 27. I invite you to listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church. Paul writes, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just in case you haven't had your fill of Christmas commercials yet, today's sermon begins with this commercial message. Watch. We keep finding ways to produce more choices, don't we? And to market them to appeal to our insatiable appetites for better, faster, cooler, satisfying stuff that we can't live without. The whole creation is groaning, and so are we under the weight of the Christmas machine. On the one hand, we may affirm that the best things in life are free, but we live in a world full of voices that seek to sell them to us, as if a camping experience won't be complete and Christmas won't be perfect without the latest and greatest from Google. Researching her film, The Story of Stuff, Annie Leonard discovered that of the materials flowing through the consumer economy, only 1% remain in use 6 months after sale. Even the goods we might have expected to hold on to are soon condemned to destruction through either planned obsolescence, they break, or perceived obsolescence, they become unfashionable. Even more sobering is the reality that while $450 billion are spent on Christmas each year, clean water for the whole world would take somewhere close to $10 billion a year. And the creation groans. Today's Advent conspiracy message boils down to two simple words: spend less. Easy for me to say, right? I won't be the one waking up in your home on Christmas morning as you look into the faces of loved ones for whom you tirelessly shopped and wrapped. It won't be me disappointing your kids or spouse if Christmas doesn't measure up, whether in your eyes, your family's eyes, or the ever-watching eyes of the people you're trying to impress. Let's remember, though, all of this started with the birth of a child to a peasant couple. It started in a little backwater town called Bethlehem. It started when the Son of God was born into this world and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger that was a feeding trough for animals. It started here. Thank you. from such humble beginnings. Christmas has become a celebration that will consume as much time and energy and money as we will give it. And the creation waits, writes the Apostle Paul, for the revealing of the children of God. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to conspire with the Spirit in the birthing of a new creation this and every Christmas. Our passage from Romans is full of birth imagery, labor, groaning, breathe, conspire. We debated a long time about whether to use the word conspiracy in our Advent theme. We worried that people would link the word with its political meaning, the formulation of secret strategies to overthrow some public power, person, or nation. But for me, the debate shifted when I remembered this passage from a book called Breathing Space, in which Heidi Newmark writes, the word conspiracy is rooted in deeper soil. From the Latin conspiritus, it literally means to breathe together, to be of one spirit, one breath, to pray and labor as one. In a world that is groaning under the weight of Christmas, for us as we make our Christmas lists, and for a planet that suffers the effects of excessive human consumption, the contractions sharpen and the labor pains deepen. What might it mean for us to conspire, to breathe new life into our Christmas celebrations? How might we breathe together so that when the water breaks, Christ will be born again, and our hearts and lives will be as filled with his love and glory as the waters fill the sea? Let's return briefly to our text from Romans as we ponder questions like these. Harkening back to Genesis, Paul writes that the creation has been subjected to futility and pain, as have human lives, as a result of our sin. But now, says Paul, there is also hope. The redemption offered and won for us through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus extends to the whole of creation, to the earth and sky and sea, and to all things now living. All of this suffering and decay will one day end, just as the suffering of a woman in labor ends in the birth of a new creation. However, in the meantime, there is groaning and an Advent conspiracy that starts with your breath and God's. The solution to our dilemma, says Paul, is found in the Spirit, the first fruits of the redemption that's on the way. The life-giving, life-sustaining breath of God who intercedes with sighs too deep for words. The Spirit that helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. We do not even know what to say or what we need from God or how we might live so that our celebrations will honor the Savior whose birth we so eagerly await. As we listen to this next piece of music, let the words and melodies be as spirit breath to you. Take them in and let them expand the space inside of you from deep in your belly to fill your lungs. And then as you exhale, let the spirit breath move through you, conspire with you as you ponder this question. What is God's yearning for you this Christmas?
Come, the long expected Jesus.
with the whole creation groaning, and the Spirit interceding with sighs too deep for words. Our Advent conspiracy message, spend less, could feel like a heaping helping of guilt. Many of you have already finished your shopping, and for those who haven't, it may feel like way too late in the game to make any real changes in our Christmas spending patterns this year. But what if we were to make it our intention to arrive at Christmas morning less spent? Not only spend less money, but spend less time on traditions that no longer make sense for you. You know, the things you do, going through the motions, simply because you haven't stopped to question them. And maybe spend less energy, trying to please others, simply because you haven't paused to remember that your love and God's love are all that really matters. And perhaps spend less emotional energy on the things you can't control, simply because you haven't yet turned them over to God. At its heart, the Advent conspiracy is about breathing deeply with God and one another so we won't be so busy, so distracted, so depleted that when Christmas finally comes, we are spent. Instead, we will be in a position to welcome the Christ who comes to us with the peace, the hope, the love, the life, the joy God intends for us and for all of creation. So what will you do differently this Christmas that groaning may give way to the glory of God? bringing intention to your Christmas preparations and celebrations. After all, you can't arrive at Christmas breathless and expect one day's encounter with the story of the birth of Jesus to deliver you to wonder, joy, and peace if you haven't paved the way all season long, which is what we're doing this morning and we'll keep doing till Christmas comes. This year, make your intention not only letting go, but also letting come. Let come the peace that is God's yearning for you. Let come through practices that simply and easily show your solidarity with the beauty and the suffering of the earth and its people. In the clash between the shopping cart and the creche, I'm conspiring with the spirit about whom Paul wrote, who prays with me and for me, that I may welcome the Christ who is coming and bask in the glory that is about to be revealed. And I can't do it alone. Let's conspire together, shall we? In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen.